And so, Father, we welcome you this morning. If anything this morning, we give you the most permission we've ever given you to do whatever you want. And we decree into 2020, we speak it out as a time, as an epoch time, a time reserved by you, God, for your beautiful bride to come forth in this region and the regions around it in the name of Yeshua. And we say we will mute ourselves when we go to speak about what the bride is like if she's not beautiful. We'll mute ourselves. Holy Spirit, restrain us from speaking against the bride in any way. And may we prophesy beauty and majesty into the bride of Christ in the name of Yeshua the King. We decree over the children, over all of our children, whether they are older or younger, and we prophesy over the babies that haven't been born yet, they're going to be born into this kingdom family, and we decree a prophetic gifting over them now in the name of Jesus. That they will be young ones who would prophesy. They would receive poems, they would receive words, they would receive songs, they would receive pictures and visions and dreams, and they would release them, Lord, and it would cause the world to come into the kingdom of God in the name of Yeshua the Christ. We just give you full authority, Lord. We give you full permission, Holy Spirit, to do whatever you want. And so we just thank you this morning, Father. And all the saints said, Amen. So good. I don't know really what to do, but I'm going to probably try and do something. The Holy Spirit is just doing this incredible swirling at the moment, and I'm just trying to get out of his way when he swirls. I want to give you some landing points as we finish off our year and as we dream together into 2020. So if you want to have just have the Song of Songs open, chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians 2, we're just going to camp here today. This morning we were in our pre-service prayer meeting. There's a few things happening, and I saw these ships that had been fully built and fully ready, and they were having this announcement party where they, I don't know what it's called, where they smash the bottle on the front of the ship before is it berthed or launched. I don't know what the maiden voyage. Oh wow! And so then they cut the ropes, and then Michael gets up and he stands. So come, Michael, come and share what the Lord showed you. Because we hadn't spoken before the service, which is a good thing to do. So let's get Michael to share this next part of this as we move together to 2020.
So we're all in senior Hobart mode, senior big black sailed maxi yachts all leaving out through the harbour and just going against the elements. And just
as that was seen by Adam, the birth, the weight, you know, the ship going down, I had seen this maxi yacht better and bigger than any of those. And it was all of us on board. And each of us could stand at the wheel and hold the wheel and listen carefully to the navigator, Jesus. And the name of that ship was Hallelujah, Zion, that place of worship in our hearts and our whole beings. And as we were there, it was evident that the wind was the Holy Spirit. So we were in the hands of the navigator, the wind of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God, in Hallelujah land. And that ship, that boat, was the victorious, you know, the victory boat. That was the one that was coming into the Derwent River way ahead of the others. And it was a ship, a boat, that we were crewing and manning that went against the elements. You know, it went against the ocean swell. The storms were there, but it was like, Hallelujah. We're in a boat that goes against it. We're in a boat that's heading up the Derwent. It's going to win. There's nothing coming against this one.
Thank you.
This is the one. This is the one. The one. We are in the anointed one. We are in the Hallelujah person of Jesus Christ. And we hold that commanding ship. We actually get to hold it and steer it with the guidance of the navigator. The Holy Spirit is the wind and the body as the crew.
Amen.
But each of us get to come up and, hey, look where we are. We're going in against the elements. But we're victorious in the praise of Hallelujah.
Amen.
It was great timing.
He's good. Thank you. He's good. Amen. So good. There's a lot of confirmations in the Spirit of God. It's great to not also have everything worked out. Who's okay with things being a mystery sometimes? It's my whole life. But one thing we are assured of is that we are anchored in Christ. And if Christ is our anchor, no matter where we happen to end up, we know that we're in His will. And that will is perfect, and His will is pure, and it does come with what was spoken at the start of the meeting this morning, which is that it comes with dripping holiness, where holiness just drips in our lives. I feel like we're just going to run a little bit today. I don't mean like get up and run if you want to do that. Amen. But I want to start this morning just by asking Yahweh, just to release everyone's generational blessings. You know, in our lives, we can talk so much about, well, I've had this generational curse, I've had this, I've had that. But Yahweh asked me this morning just to pray for everyone's generational blessings to be released into their lives. And so we're going to do this in a moment. So Yahweh, we just thank you for your presence. And we ask you now, we ask you to release every generational blessing that we have and that we're entitled to through your Son Jesus. And we receive the generational blessings. Lord, we even say to the generations that have gone before us that haven't loved you or haven't stewarded you well or haven't been appropriate, we decree, we even want the blessings that were reserved for them, Lord. And so, Father, we speak now, not only to us, but we speak to our kids and our grandkids, our great-grandchildren, and to 1,000 generations, the blessings of Almighty Yahweh, that our lines would be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ, that the Christ, the King, would bless our lines in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that everyone, Lord, everyone who's connected in, even we just pray now for this region. Can we just believe this morning for this region and the plains that you will start to release generational blessings over people who don't even want them? You just start to break out with so much blessing, Lord, in the name of Yeshua the Christ. And so, Father, we thank you for those blessings this morning and we receive them by faith. As Karen and Esther pray, we receive this by faith this morning. And as you're swirling prophetically, Holy Spirit, we just receive what you have for us in the name of Yeshua. And we don't bring emotion into it, and we don't bring feeling into it, bring faith into it. And we receive it by faith this morning in the name of Yeshua the Christ. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's a good place to start with the blessings of God. Amen. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Some of your headings may say some things, but We just want to camp out in verses 14 through to 17. And these camping verses, this is what I call apostolic Christianity. And if we will continue to build on an apostolic foundation, everything else will fall into place. And in our weakness in the Aussie church, we've actually taken the approach of forfeiting our apostolic foundation. And so what happens is we can never come into unity. And so if you're just a teaching element or if it's just a shepherding element, maybe they'll get an evangelist in once in a while to get some people in. But there's really, they've actually thrown the apostolic away or not even considered it. And the problem with throwing the apostolic away and not considering it is that everything is founded on the apostles and the prophets. And so the apostolic ministry has to be our foundation. What does the word of God say about Jesus Christ? He is the foundation stone. Everything is built from the foundation stone. Even says this, is that the stone that the builders rejected, okay? And so apostolically, we're building from a foundation that is right and true in the Word of God first. Regardless of what happens spiritually, we want to be people that are building a communal movement that is established on the apostolic who is Christ. Is that okay for everyone? You're tracking with me in this, amen. And so what we want to discover today is we want to discover that, and we believe, we prophesy this. You know, I love the Holy Spirit because I had a really good plan about what to preach on the last message of the year. And then I'm driving, and if you know, when I drive, my kids have already told you, and so has my wife, and James Tidd's told everyone about my driving, right? Sometimes I like to drive and read the Word. Now, it's a bit of a challenge. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, not a good driver because I'm reading the Word of God, maybe hopefully.
And so I'm driving, and the Holy Spirit says to me, you are to speak out of, he says it's 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 17. I said, yes, sir. So I go home, I write it, and I'm like, write it down. And then as I'm studying over the last few months, I'm looking at this whole entire movement of what the Apostle Paul was doing. And when we prophesy into 2020 that you would actually be living in the aroma of endless triumph. Now, the Bible is very specific when it says endless. You could actually take that verse and you could shift it and you could say that Lois Shooter lives in the endless triumph of God, but you could also say she lives in the infinity triumph of God, that it continually just goes over her and above her and around her. And we need to believe by faith today that because of our lack of or goodness in our performance, it will count for nothing. His aroma of endless triumph is going over us. You just want to say amen to that, because that's what he wants us to have. He wants us to be a people that are living in this endless triumph of Christ. Endless triumph. I want you to think about your greatest victory right now. Just think about it in your mind. Maybe you scored the winning shot. Maybe you won the prize. But I want you to think about your greatest natural victory. Just think about that now. I'm going to come to you guys in a few minutes. Just think about your greatest natural victory and how it felt and what happened in that time. Okay? And the Holy Spirit wants you to feel like that in Him, but with an infinity tense all the time. This is how I'm moving. I'm moving with the Holy Spirit in endless triumph. And yes, circumstances might say something different, but He wants our mindset and He wants our heart to believe by faith, even in the most dire time. He wants us to believe by faith that we are living in endless triumph. And the enemy will try to cause you, think about this, the enemy has two schemes. One, get you out of rest. So he'll arrest you to get you out of rest. And the second thing he does, he gets you to stop believing that you live in endless triumph because of circumstance or this happened or that happened. And we need to take our eyes off the natural and see what the Lord is doing in things above. Who wants to be in the things above? Amen. Yeah, amen. So who has had a natural victory? Anyone a wood chopper? I would love to go in one of those competitions where you chop wood. But I think I'd cut my foot off, so I probably wouldn't go into it, right? Imagine missing the log and cutting your foot. That'd hurt, right? Who's had a natural victory? Someone. Yes, Nick. Natural victory. How did it feel?
Triumph.
Yes, so good. Do you feel like running around a bit? Like,
yeah,
happy, joy. Yeah, a bit like Ren and Stimpy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Like that, you know? I just brought Ren and Stimpy into a word of, oh, that's good, eh? Yeah. Who else had one? You have one, James? Yeah, what did it feel like? Feel, oh, so good. It's not like you get a triumph and go, oh, that was pretty average, pretty boring. I just won the America's Cup. It's all right. It feels like it. No, it's like, whoa. Who's ever experienced a baby being born? No one I've ever spoken to has gone like this. It was pretty lame. Like, she took a bit long. Like, I was waiting for ages. It's like, whoa! It's this incredible, incredible thing. Anyone over here who's had a victory that they're like, yes, yeah, victory, birth, amen, yes. Yeah, women, you're way glorious than men. I'm like, whoa, those women. So good. James, had a victory?
Yes, yeah,
fine, man. Yeah. Oh, here we go. See, it's dangerous.
I saw Quinny Bird, and I got up and hit him and knocked him straight up the stage.
It's dangerous to preach with friends, amen? Okay. But it's a beautiful thing. So what I want to do, I want to read this through, and then I want to run with you, then I want to pick some things up, and we're just going to release the word of the Lord. So verse 14 says, but thanks be to God, who always, say always, leads us in triumph in Christ. Always. Every single place you're in, always. I'll say some side comments to this in a moment. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Okay, 16. To the one in an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many who are peddling the word of God. The word peddling is interesting, we'll get that later. But as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. When you start to pray in the morning or the evening now, I want you to pray like this. I want you to say this to the Lord. I speak the words of Christ in God. You know how safe it is to do that? Because if you're speaking the words of God in Christ, you know that you're inside of Him, and inside of Him is the fullness of joy, righteousness, peace, rest, abundance. And I've found in my own life that every time I get outside of rest, or I get outside of His will, what's actually happening is I'm starting to speak not from from looking at Christ in God, I'm starting to look at other things. And it's a difficult road, I know that. It's a very difficult road. And we can look at our natural circumstances sometimes, and we can try, and who's ever tried to figure out what God's doing? No one in here, everyone's like just full of faith, right? So no one's ever like just like, you know, full of... So we try and figure out, okay, if we... And sometimes we can get, anyone in here ever got methodical about it? Okay, if I do this, this, and this, that'll happen, right? And you do that, and that doesn't happen. And you're like, oh no, it's not formulaic. Like there's no formula to this. What there is Christ's will and us bending. Who's ever bent almost breaking point? Yeah, amen. So you allow the Holy Spirit to bend you into the will of God. Okay? That is a beautiful place to be, when we can be people that are bending into the will of God. And so Paul the Apostle here, he's speaking about the fact that you're not just saved and set free, if you believe it, you're actually going to be living in an endless triumph that releases this aroma. And the interesting thing about the word aroma is that in the Greek, when they translate the word aroma, it comes from two words, the word for smell and the word for speech. Anyone ever encountered morning breath? My kids often say to me, did you vomit in your mouth in the morning? Right? It's like, whoa. Good morning to you too. Right? But interestingly enough, if you look at it metaphorically, when you're speaking the words of Christ, there's a sweet aroma that is permeating around people. And when we speak words of death, there is a permeation of a bad smell. Amen? And that's why sometimes when you are with people in the world and you're speaking the revelations of God, they either think that you are crazy or they get confused. And the reason they get confused is not because you're doing something wrong, is because the word says here they're smelling death to death. Okay, they haven't been awakened yet to life. And so our prayer is like the Apostle Paul, is that when we speak, we would be speaking life to life and death to death. Okay, that's the word of God. That's what it does. Anyone ever encountered that? Anyone ever preached the word of God or spoken a word to someone and it falls flat? Anyone done that before? Yeah, amen. That's right, yeah. I want to encourage you, not because the word was wrong. I want to encourage you because if you are obedient to Him, even if you release that word that went flat to them, the Lord will do what He wants with it. Because remember, the word of God says this: He will never ever speak a word that will not return to Him unfulfilled. Okay? So don't be too upset about the hearer's inability to hear, because you're not speaking in a natural place there, you're speaking in a spiritual place. Okay, is that okay? We're just going to run together. I want to just prophesy some things over us this morning as we go to 2020. Ephesians 4 says that when you come up into maturity, you will become like a house that is fully furnished. Okay? Not an empty house where you've got to go and buy furniture, because you know what the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is? If you are born again, living in the Spirit, you need nothing else. There's no add-ons. There's nothing else. All you need is the Holy Ghost. I want to prophesy that we will see a communal rebuilding and reestablishing of truth. What do I mean by that? I mean that Paul the Apostle was continually saying to his communities that he was an apostolic person over. He was continually saying, listen, you need to get rid of untruth, and you need to unlearn the bad way, and you need to rebuild and reestablish the truth of God. Some of that's going to mean, as people come into our movement, they're going to actually have to be debunked of decades of untruth. Decades of untruth that have been spoken or preached about from a stance that wasn't fully in Christ. If we get that, amen? Is that okay? I prophesy a linking arms and a knitting of hearts. It says about the apostles and the 120 that were in the upper room, and it goes throughout the whole book of Acts and says they were of one mind, one body, and one spirit. If you're going to look at those words, there is a little, it's an awesome little play on words about the knitting of a heart. Is anyone doing knitting in here? I tried to do knitting once. It didn't turn out very well. Okay, but when you knit, yeah, see, when you knit, there's a, as you knit together, it actually joins, it looks beautiful if you do it right, correct. And so we want to be, yeah, amen. So we want to be a people that continue to link arms together and knit our hearts together as well. We want to prophesy a communal work together in Christ. You know, there's a beautiful, I love this word communal. This word communal, where we get things that are shared, where we get things like, where we understand that everyone can add a piece. And Snow brought that incredible revelation a fortnight ago about the fact that we are all part of the what?
Body.
Body. Say it again. We are all part of the body. Amen. And every part is needed. Okay? Every part is needed. And so to continue our destruction of the triangle system of religion and see the system of the kingdom established on the earth more and more, we need to understand that we are all valuable, that each one has a part to play. And I love the word play because play is fun. Even though church planning is probably the most difficult thing you could do, whether you're doing it as a missionary or doing it wherever you're doing it, you have to understand that in all that hardship is joy and fun, because Christ is full of joy. It says that the Word of God says to us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay? We decree a united unraveling of the kingdom mysteries. You know, this incredible Word of God that we have, these 66 books that are canonized, and other texts that we can look at that are mentioned in the Word of God, we can understand that all of those are given to us, but through the whole of the work of God through His Word, we can see there are mysteries beyond mysteries beyond mysteries beyond mysteries. Isn't it awesome that you can have 100 people read the same scripture, go away with the Holy Spirit, and receive different revelation that is all good, but it's not the same? And so our difference of opinion shouldn't divide us. Our difference of opinion should strengthen us, because no one in here has the fullness of it. But together we have parts, and those parts come together. It's like a knitting together. It's a beautiful patchwork. His body is a beautiful patchwork. An intentional unlearning of untruth. When you come across something that's been taught to the church or taught to yourself that is not right or real or true, you need to understand the Holy Spirit wants to reteach you what is true. But He also wants to remove from you what's not true. And that's a intentional thing that God is doing. And it's happening all across the earth right now. All across the earth. We could say, without naming any theological giants, if that's what they're called in life, we could actually say that all of their theology was not perfect. And so what we do with that, we have to be careful not to believe everything that comes in. Even here, we have to actually take the Word of God. We've got to take it with the Holy Spirit. You see, if we just take the Word of God and challenge people with the Word of God, we've only got half. We need to be Spirit people and Word people. Okay, there needs to be a moving and a meshing together in that. We're going to live from a continual apostolic foundation. And as an apostolic person in this community, my charge to you is to continue building on what Paul calls the chief cornerstone. Christ Jesus is our foundation and He's our head. Does the Bible say that He's Alpha and Omega? Only issue with that is that causes Him to have an end. So Alpha and Omega, yes, but we know that Yahweh is moving all around. Amen? So He's Alpha and Omega, but He's way more than that. Okay, He's the one who hasn't got a beginning, hasn't got an end. If you read Genesis 1, how tricky is that? You read it, you're like, in the beginning was God. It doesn't say in the beginning, then God was created. In the beginning was God. You think, oh, for the next decade, I'm going to be stung about that. Where was God's beginning? And he starts to reveal things to you about that. We're going to look for a united releasing and encouraging of true prophetic flows. Remember, prophecy is not just someone speaking something over someone or something or some place. Prophecy can be a movement. We've learned this year that prophecy is a movement. We've learned that prophetic things come through art and through music. I want to say today that go and ask the Holy Spirit how you are to release His words and be encouraged to do that. Have permission from the Holy Spirit to be exactly how he wants you to be. If that means you get up and speak, amen. If it means you do something else, amen. We want to encourage people to be exactly who God's called them to be. We want to be a family of fearless, faith-filled storytellers. This is how you evangelize well. You fill with faith and you share the stories of the kingdom. The greatest evangelists that I've met on the street or met somewhere else, they've always been captivating with the story of the kingdom of God. Whether it's a testimony or it's a parable from the Bible, or it's, they've always been able to share the story full of faith. The evangelists that I've met that haven't worked have been the ones that have tried to motivate me with hell, try to motivate you with death, try to motivate, if you go home tonight and you're like, wait a second, we need to understand that the Lord is, I believe that love, the Bible says, casts out what? All fear. And the Bible says this, that it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. So can I encourage us to be faith-filled storytellers in 2020, that we would be faith-filled storytellers, whether that's in Springwood, or whether it's in Penrith, or whether it's on the train, or whether it's on a bus, or whether it's in your bike club. Whatever it is, I pray that we will be a family of fearless, faith-filled storytellers. A communal shepherding that leads us all through into Christ. You know, we all have a part to play in shepherding each other. And what we've unlearned this year is what a pastor isn't. And what we've learned this year is, or we're learning, is what a shepherd actually is. And every one of us, if we take Ephesians 4 and we see that established in our midst, what it does is this. It creates a room for the phrases to be apostolic. It creates room for the phrases to be prophetic. It creates room for the phrases to be storytellers in their evangelism. It creates room for them to be teachers of other people and people to teach them. But it also creates room for them to shepherd each other and shepherd others well. That's what the ministry of the fivefold does. It's not about having five people who's... I am the apostle. No, it's about creating culture and creating a kingdom environment that is apostolic and prophetic and evangelistic and teaching and shepherding well in Christ as him as the head. If I had enough time, I was going to draw circles, but I didn't have enough time to draw the circles. But I could show you. I'm going to draw these over the next few weeks and we'll go into that. Amen. Just speak over you. And this is my favorite one, I think, for 2020. I want to pray for us to have a surging and flowing Holy Spirit moments. That's what we want. We want to be a people that we are seeing the Holy Spirit surging and flowing. Why did I use the word surging? In the Old Testament it said this, the Holy Spirit rushed upon people. I want to see that in like Coles and Woolworths. I'm being serious. What happens when you walk into the service station and the Holy Spirit rushes on the attendant? It's going to become inconvenient, but it's going to be his movement, not our movement. Can we ask the Holy Spirit in his kindness to repent of wanting to do it, pen of doing it our way, so we can do it his way. Amen? I'll say that again so it's clarified, that we would get out of our own self so we can get into Christ and start to think ridiculous things. I've been on this bin thing for many years now, whereas if you just pray for your neighbors, they don't talk to me. It doesn't matter if they don't talk to you. Just start to pray for them. They've got to collect that bin at some stage. I've never seen a bin in the Blue Mountains ever walk itself into its own yard. Maybe someone's got a mechanical, like with a drone and stuff, like pretty cool bin stuff, but it's a great opportunity, bin night and bin morning. It's so good. Just hang out. Just imagine that. We all just hung out at night. Now, bin, how you going? How's it going, mate? Oh, it's one of those Christians. Oh, no, it's not like that. It's actually about the beauty of Jesus. The beauty of Jesus? And then you start this, oh, I could go on, but I'm not going to. A communal carrying of endless triumph. My heart for us as we live, move, and have our being is that we would be consistently reminding each other that we carry endless triumph. And so when we come to each other this year with our burdens and when we're downcast and when we're in depression and anxiety, I pray that we would prophesy over each other that we actually live in endless triumph. Your circumstance might not say that, and I know it's difficult. There's hard circumstances, but we decree that we are carrying endless triumph. Michael and I have been playing around this prayer thing for a little while. What would it look like if we prayed and people we weren't even aiming for received the blessing? People that we weren't even aiming for. So I'm praying for Snow and three people near him get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because he's way bigger than just that thing there, yeah? So I ask you to go into the prayer, however you pray with the Holy Spirit, and ask him to start filling you with endless triumph. which is only found in Christ Jesus. A courageous building each other up into the most holy faith. That's our mission for each other as we do this together, that we are building each other up into the most holy faith. That's what we're doing together, amen. I want to leave you this morning with three Greek words to go and chew on. The reason I'm asking you to chew on these is because they're in a sequence I believe the Holy Spirit has given us. And this sequence is for you to live in endless triumph. And it starts with this word that's found in the Gospels called hoptomai. Okay, and this word hoptomai, it means to cleave or to fasten or to join to. There's little kids in here, so I'll say this in a way that is like a G-rated version. So the word, the physical word hoptomai, if we're talking about a physical nature, it'd be about the coming together of a man and a wife after marriage. That's how close it is, right? Well, this word hoptomai is used like this. Hoptomai is how Jesus wants us to live with him, in him and cleaved to him. You know, when Jesus heals the man with leprosy, it's interesting, right? That he heals 10 lepers, correct? Is that right? Yes. And how many go back? One goes back. I want us to be a people who always go back to Jesus. That when the most outstanding encounter happens, when we're healed, when we're set free, when we're delivered, we rush back to Christ. I think what's happened in the body of Christ is that when we're going really well, we kind of not like get too close. Anyone experience that? And when things go pear-shaped, we're like, oh, we better get back to Christ. But what if we had a whole movement, a whole family, a whole culture, a whole atmosphere, a whole teaching of other people where we actually were always going to him? When it's great and when it's not so great, we just go to Jesus. Amen. This is that word hoptomai. And hoptomai enables us to cling to the living God. Anyone seen this film that was done about, I think about a year ago, where the guy climbs the wall? What's it called? The Dawn Wall? Free Solo, that's the one. Yeah. And he climbs El Capitan, which hasn't been done before, with no ropes. Like, he's insane. Not so much insane, he was just really good at clinging. Like, you see him, he's like Spider-Man. Like, he just clings to that wall. At one stage, it was almost like the wall and him were one person. Like, he was just moving on the wall. And the wall, it was interesting. And that's a picture that I got when I was praying about what this looks like, what hoptomai looks like. Being so close to Jesus. And if I could be bold, can I be bold? Be bold this morning that as you come into Christ, less and less and less of what you don't want to do happens. And more and more and more of what you want to encounter takes place. Secondly, apocalypto. Apocalypto means this, to uncover, to lay open what has been veiled or covered up. And I'll send this through this afternoon to everybody by email. And I'll also send through all the verses that are with it as well. Probably later tonight. I've got to drive a bit this afternoon. But this means, apocalypto means we have been given the mission by the Holy Spirit to uncover things that are hidden. There is revelation that is being hidden for a people who have found hoptomai first. If you find intimacy with Jesus, you'll always find revelation. And the deeper that you discover intimacy with him and become one with him, the deeper the revelation is that he releases. There's some uncommon, unattached way that the Holy Spirit moves on people who have found communion with the Lord, oneness with God. And then that leads us to this beautiful word, which is my favorite word in the whole Bible, which is mysterion. There are things in the Word of God that are hidden from the common gaze. The word mysterion means this. This is where we get the word in English called mystery. But if I said to you, whoever watched Unsolved Mysteries when they were younger? So an unsolved mystery was this, is that you never ever got to find out what happened because of the mystery. That's biblically got nothing to do with mystery. Mystery in the Bible is this, I'm going to hide something, says God, and as a king, you're going to search it out. But can I say something bold this morning? You've got to believe that you're called as a king. And that's for the women as well. You've got to believe that you are called as a king, which actually enables you to feel worth in Christ. If you are worthlessness, if you are experiencing worthlessness, you can never experience kingship. But I believe the Holy Spirit in that burden box that went around, Jesus' burden box, that was awesome, was taking people's worthlessness so they could actually step into their kingship in Christ. I didn't say it, Paul said it, that we are what? We are a kingdom. We are kings and priests, okay? And so hoptomai is intimacy, oneness. Apocalypto is uncovering things. And then when they're uncovered, we actually see the things in the Word of God that are actually hidden from the common gaze. And just a little bit of a side note, it's not saying they're hidden from the world. It's saying they're hidden from inside the body. Can any of you right now tell me how many blood cells just got made in the last 3 seconds? No, you can estimate. You can estimate. Can anyone tell me right now, I just saw my blood cells made? No. It's a mystery, isn't it? But as you learn about those things, you could then say, it's not a mystery anymore. I actually know how it happens. Correct? But it's hidden, yes? Yeah, we understand? And so Hoptomai will take us into intimacy. Apocalypto will actually remove things so we can see differently. And then Mysterion comes in and we actually see the revelation of the Word of God. And that revelation, when we hang our hat, so to speak, on the Word and on revelation, we start to overcome in a powerful way. This word Mysterion can also be translated as a vision or a dream. So what does that mean, you say? Well, it means this. When you're having visions and dreams, they're actually unseen things that were held for you to see them when you found intimacy in Christ. And everything comes back to that eternal intimacy that we have right now. God cannot love us any more than he loves us right now. We need to seek that and live in that, that our performance and our behavior, and there's no excuse for things, there's grace for things and kindness, because remember that my yoke is what? And my burden is? That word easy is translated as kindness. His burden is kindness. Think about that. His burden is kindness. Not like heavy, not like this, easy, not as in like, oh, it's heaps easy. It's actually kindness. And my prayer for you running into the end of 2019 and into 2020 is that you would come into the revelation of intimacy. That would then cause an uncovering of things, and then you would step into the mysteries of the kingdom. And the greatest thing is, how awesome is it to hear the mysteries of the kingdom that are all found where? There's only one place they're found, in Jesus Christ. A little bit of a side note quickly is that most of the revelation that is really bad that's happening in the body of Christ has been found outside of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is, if we are in Christ and finding things in him, then we know that we are safe. That's why the Bible says to test all words. But it also says, do not hold prophecy with contempt, but keep what is good and throw out what's not so good. Amen. We're just going to start to let this swirl happen. I pray for us that 2019, no matter what it's been to individually, I pray that we would end 2019 with an incredible hope. There's been a lot of pain in 2019 for a lot of people. There's almost a couple of hundred people that are connected into what we're doing, and it's exciting, and we don't count people any time. But what I'm really excited about more than any of that stuff, I'm excited about the fact that people are entering maturity in Christ. Because I know that when we become mature in Christ, it says that we will build each other up in the most holy faith. That we are becoming mature in Jesus Christ. It's just a beautiful thing that God is doing. So I pray for us that the Holy Spirit would become so close in this next month, the Holy Spirit, we would just step into things we haven't even encountered before. At the start, I asked you to bring out Song of Songs. It says this in chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 through to verse 4. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil, therefore the maidens love you. Draw me after you and let us run together. The king has brought me into his chambers. My prayer for you is that you would experience Jesus Christ so intimately that you would feel like you're running into his chambers. It says boldly go before the throne of grace so you can obtain what? Mercy. Let's just quickly stand up. I'm just going to just release some things that the Holy Spirit is saying, and then we're going to have a bit of fun. People have been praying for the fires to go out, and we continue to do that. So let's just continue to do that together. Pray for the fireys that are actually out there, the men and women, the police, the RF, everyone that's doing it, whether it's the emergency services. There has been such a coordination. And I also thank the saints for praying, because it seems like the leadership of this nation is starting to take notice and starting to release things like monetary value for our fireys, things like that. It's awesome. So we praise God for that. And we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to Scott Morrison over this next few weeks and give him a great strategy for the nation in 2020. And Lord, I pray that you, even for Mark Greenhill now in these mountains, we bless him. We bless his family. We bless his thoughts. We pray you'd invade his heart, God. We pray you'd surround him with people, influences that are speaking from the word of Yahweh. We pray, Lord, that you would raise him up, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd raise him up, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would encounter him, Jesus, and he would come to the knowledge of the holy. And so, Father, we thank you for his leadership in this region. We pray for Trish Doyle, our local member. And people can say all things about Trish, but we decree over her life that you have a greater day for her. You have a most beautiful day for her. You are the sun who is shining and brilliant light. And we pray that you would encounter her where she is in the name of Yeshua the Christ. We pray, Lord, you start to influence her decisions. that she wouldn't be influenced by what man's agenda is or what whatever left or right's happening, but she would be influenced by you, Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Susan Templeman, our federal member, and we ask God that you'd influence her thoughts, that you start to speak love and life and truth over her, but also through her, God. We pray, Lord, like Daniel prayed for Nebuchadnezzar. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to them in dreams and visions. You'd speak to them with the light of Christ, and Lord, they would come to the knowledge of who you are, Jesus. We thank you in the mighty name of Yeshua for their lives. We bless these last few days of 2019. We give thanks and glory. We give praise and honor only to you. All the praise, all the honor, all the glory, everything is due to your name alone. Father, we pray you'd continue to break the backbone of so many social issues in this nation, God. And you bring righteousness through Canberra in the name of Jesus. You'd bring holiness through Canberra in the name of Jesus. You would bring, Lord, your Spirit, God, upon those places in the name of Yeshua the Christ. And so, Father, we just thank you for this incredible moment we live in. People can be saying that the world is going to this and going to that. We're going to see what we just prophesy over this nation, that we will be a refuge and a hope. We decree, Lord, that we will be a refuge and a hope. That this region and the region around Penrith and the region around Lithgow, we decree that we will be regions of hope in the name of Yeshua. That when everything, Lord, is going pear-shaped, people will find solace and they will find sanctuary in these regions in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your Spirit that is filling us, continually filling us. We pray for Hoptomai. We pray for intimacy with you, Jesus. We pray for Apocalypto, that you would help us uncover the things, Lord, that need to be uncovered. And we pray, Lord, for the mysterion of God, the mysteries that are hidden from the common gaze. And so, Father, we just give you all the glory and the praise and the honor this morning. And we say these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.